E-radio, l'invité de la rédaction.
If Europe looks to the West, Trump might be president again this November in the US. And if Europe looks to the East, Putin is invading Ukraine while threatening with a nuclear bomb. Europe is in the middle of all of this, having to pose serious questions on security. Can we continue to expect the US to provide our protection? And are the Europeans safe if Trump becomes the next president of the United States? To enlighten us on this, Nicolas Badalassi, welcome to you. You are author of the book Histoire de la sécurité européenne depuis 1945. You hold a PhD from Sorbonne University Paris on the Cold War, and you are professor of contemporary history at Sciences Po X. From reading your book, clearly the US and Russia are two defining powers for European security. Can you begin by telling why the US engaged so deeply in European security just after the Second World War, and what did they gain from this?
We have to know that the United States engagement in Europe after World War II was not natural. It's the result of an intense debate in the US at the end of the war in order to know if the American had to guarantee European security or not, the West European security in particular. We have to keep in mind that from the late 18th century, from the US independence, the American nations has been built on the idea that had to be preserved from former influence, had to be preserved from intervention in the rest of the world. The goal was to create a nation which was concentrated on the Western Hemisphere states, I mean the American continent states. So all the American policy during the 19th century and the early 20th century was built around the idea of protectionism, of isolationism. One at the end of World War II, the Truman administration, the Roosevelt and Truman administration saw that the European security was threatened by the Soviet influence. The question was clearly set at the time. As a new, very powerful country, is it now necessary to break with the traditional isolationism of the founding fathers? And in fact, the Americans realized that without their European customers, it would be very difficult to stay a powerful country. The trade of the United States was first and foremost with Europe, and if Western Europe poured into the Soviet influence, it would be a catastrophe because it will wake the American economy. So the first thing which explains the American commitment for European security is economy, to keep their customers alive and in security. Facing the USSR, during the second part of the 20th century, the American commitment was growing and became a structural orientation of American foreign policy. But economy is the first thing. Of course, we can add values as democratic values, human rights, and so on. But first of all, it's a way to preserve capitalism and commercial relations between Europe and the United States.
Okay, well, So the economy was the leading motivation for the US to secure Europe in the beginning, or at least after the Second World War. And then we developed NATO that we know very well today. And something that is, of course, very well known as well is the Musketeer Oath. This includes the nuclear protection. If there is a nuclear bomb or attack on its way to a state in Europe that doesn't have nuclear arms, the US have vowed to protect this state with nuclear bombs. But this nuclear umbrella, as it's called, actually has holes. In 1962, the US redefines the agreement and actually takes a step back on this promise. Can you elaborate what changed in 1962 and why the nuclear umbrella today has holes?
In 1962, we are at the end of two major crises in the world. And it was Cold War crisis, the second Berlin crisis and the Cuban crisis about the missile. And during both crises, the U.S. administration, the John Kennedy administration, realized that at that time, the Soviets had very powerful weapons, which would be able to destroy Europe, of course, but to destroy also the United States. During the early 60s, the USSR had the means to target the American territory. And that's a very important change for the U.S., because until this moment, the United States thought that the Soviet weapons could destroy only Europe and couldn't reach the American territory. So they developed a theory until 1962, according to, in case of Soviet use of nuclear arms, United States could reply with nuclear arms. But given from 1962 the American territory could be reached, this theory appears too dangerous for Washington, for the Kennedy administration. They thought they had to find a solution to use nuclear weapons only if necessary, at the end of the crisis, in order to protect the American territory from an attack, from a Soviet attack. That's why they changed the approach in 1962, and it's the McNamara Doctrine by the Secretary of Defense of the time, which is the gradual response, according to which the nuclear weapons is used only after different stages of war between the U.S. and the USSR in order to protect this American territory. And for the European, for the Western European at that time, this new theory is seen as a way to sacrifice the European security, because they consider, and it's the case, for example, with General Charles de Gaulle, they consider that by this new approach, the Americans neglect the European territory. They consider like it can be conventional war could be organized on the European territory, and that the nuclear weapons will be used only if this war is enlarged to the United States territory. But Western Europeans saw this moment as an American weakness in European security.
So the American step back also makes Europe go into more dialogue with the USSR, yet the US remains the guarantee of European security still. This is up until 1989, where the Berlin Wall falls, and quickly after the USSR as well. And that changes everything. In the 90s, what is the American relation to Europe now that Russia doesn't pose the same threat as before?
The relation changed because after the Cold War, the American administration, Bush, Clinton, consider Europe as a second framework. The priority was given to Asia and the Middle East, clearly. And so there was a moment of change. They withdrew a lot of troops from Europe during the mid-90s to deploy them to concentrate their efforts on Asia, Pacific, and Middle East. That created difficulties with the European, because France, but also Great Britain, Germany, which used to be protected by the American, so that the American were not as engaged in Europe as during the Cold War. So they tried during 10 years to convince the American administrations to maintain troops in Europe, but it was very difficult because the American consider there is no more threat on Europe. So NATO was transformed and into a security organization, but also politic organization. We have concentrated on terrorism stakes and the protection of environment, disarmament. But the nuclear umbrella was not destroyed, of course, but was weakened. That's the point. Things changed finally only with the Ukraine war 2 years ago, in fact, because between the 90s and 2022, the mainstays of the Euro-American cooperation and security stakes was on the Middle East, on the fight against terrorism. But it's not the same tools than nuclear protection than what it was during the Cold War. So today we see a renew of a cooperation which was in course during the Cold War.
Okay. So when you had to describe the U.S. and European relations today. You already did, but do you have anything to add to describe the American guarantee of security?
Yes, the guarantee is today is very fragile because of the election in next November. During the two last years, Joe Biden committed to protect Europe as it was the case during the Cold War, and that's very new. We can see that finally NATO is strong only when it has to fight against the threat against which it has been built. I mean Russia. So with Biden, we see that American were able to keep their historical position of main defender of Europe. It was Roosevelt's position, Harry Truman position, Kennedy position, and so on. But the change between our times and the Cold War is that the public opinion in the United States is not unanimous regarding European defense. And they consider a large part of the American population consider that they have to stop paying for European. That was not the case during the Cold War. Of course, there was debates about the way to protect Europe, but not these debates were not so strong as today. And that's a real, real problem for us today. And if Donald Trump is elected next November as president of the United States, it will be a problem for us because I'm not sure the American will be committed to defend Europe as they are today. This is the main difference. I think that Trump is ready to speak with Putin as other European leaders who are admirers of Putin, as in Hungary, for example, or in other country. I don't know if maybe it's the case with Mrs. Meloni in Italy. So the context is very different. I think it's very, it could be very complicated for us, for European and for European securities, if Donald Trump is elected. There is no more unanimity to protect Europe in the United States, and that's the point.
That's the point. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. So even though the American security has always been a bit uncertain, it's gone up, it's gone down. It's not as simple as it may sound. Would you still say today and now the election of Trump, the American election that's coming up, is it a crucial election for European security?
Yes, I think it's the most important elections of the 80s last years for us. It's a turning point. And I'm sorry to say that, but the situation is very dangerous for Europe today. And the difference with the elections of 1988, and the elections in the early 1950s, that at that time, the Americans wanted to protect Europe. They changed their law to protect Europe with, for example, the different amendments to their law. But today, we are on another sense. I'm not sure the American public opinion is ready to protect Europe. And on the contrary, they want to be they want to protect their own interest. They don't consider Europe is their interest. And that's a major difference with the 20th century, when the Americans saw Europe as linked to their future. That's it's what we named the Atlantic, the Atlantic field. And it's over today. And it's dangerous for us. I'm sorry for this answer.
It's an honest answer. And for my last question, how do you think Europe and the EU will manage this this new world?
Yeah, but I think Europeans, if Donald Trump is elected, Europeans will be their best to convince him to keep their main ally. But Europeans have to organize their own defense. And it's very it's an emergency. I don't know if they will be able to do so because of the national election, because of the nationalist feelings everywhere in Europe, and the proximity of some leaders with Russia. So I'm not very, very optimistic about the European capacity to organize themselves to balance an American withdrawal. That's my answer for that time. I'm not. I can read the future, but since 2022 and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Europeans didn't manage to organize themselves. Of course, there was agreements to deliver weapons and arms to Ukraine, but it's not enough. We need a real European military organization, and European countries are not ready to do so. So, unfortunately, I think we're gonna assist to maybe it won't be the case, but if Trump is elected, Europeans will be witness of this evolution, and I'm not sure they will be able to answer as they should do.
I will let that be your last word of the interview. Thank you so much for your time.
Really. You're welcome.
Euradio vous a présenté l'invité de la rédaction. Retrouvez les podcasts de la rédaction dès maintenant sur euradio.fr.